Our theme this morning is the last of our important Advent words, the theme of love. And you've heard that reflected already in our songs that we've chosen and what you've heard read with the Advent candle lighting. But love in English covers a lot of ground. And there's a lot of different things that we can love. For example, what do you guys love? Huh? Anybody want to tell me what you love?
Coffee.
She loves coffee. Do a lot of people love coffee? I think so. A lot of people love coffee. What else do you love? Anybody else love something else other than coffee?
Spending time with our family.
Spending time with our family. So we love coffee. We love spending time with our family. What else do we love? You want to pass that down?
I love my rabbit.
You love your rabbit. She loves her rabbit. I've met your rabbit. That's the fourth rabbit? Oh, okay, well... They have four rabbits. What else do you guys love? Anybody back here in the back love something? I'm going to pass that down.
Sports.
Love sports. Do you ever play basketball in front of your house? Yeah, I thought so. I can see you from my window. You're getting good, too. Anything else? What else do you guys love? Alan, what do you love?
Books, books, and more books.
Oh, man, a man after my own heart. Do you love used bookstores? Yes.
No,
too much. What else do you guys love? Anybody else have something they want to share that they just love? Oh, yeah, here's a guy in the middle.
You know, I love Mrs. Johnson.
Oh, man. Guys, take a lesson from Jim, guys. That's the way. Ditto for all the rest of us. Otherwise, we're going to be here all day. Anybody else? What do you love? We have some, you're pointing, but I don't see where. Oh, Erica.
My family.
Oh, that is sweet. That is sweet, and they love you too. You know, love carries a lot of ground in the English language, doesn't it? It's kind of a messy word, love, because it covers everything, right? You love cheeseburgers. You love your rabbit, you love your family, you love books, you love Jesus, you love all those things, right? But, you know, it's a little bit messy because one word has to cover all that. Well, I grew up really not really knowing too much about Jesus or the church. In fact, I grew up learning about Christmas love from the specials, the holiday specials. So this was my favorite, by the way. And do you remember the Charlie Brown Christmas tree? And you remember what it looked like when all of the Peanuts gang was done decorating it?
Yeah.
I mean, that was a miracle right there, wasn't it? That was a lot of love. Or what about the Who's in Whoville, right? The Grinch couldn't steal their Christmas. Even when he stole all their gifts, they got together and they were singing down there in Whoville, and they had some Christmas joy, didn't they? So I learned about some joy from them. Frosty sacrificed himself for Karen. Right? I don't know why he couldn't just stand outside, but he sacrificed himself, and, you know, if it wasn't for the magic of Christmas snow, we would have lost him forever, but, you know, so we learned about just that love is sacrificial. Or what about the Cratchit family, right? Their Uncle Scrooge just was a terrible person, awful person, but they prayed for him. They cared about him. And it really kind of changed his heart, along with a few other supernatural things that changed his heart. But then, you know, I think my favorite of all time, right? All the folks there in Bedford Falls that gathered all their resources and helped George Bailey. And it was really kind of a life-saving love, don't you think? So those were kind of the values that I learned as a child about love. I didn't know about Jesus, but I knew about some of these values, and they were pretty good values, I think, you know, generosity and unselfishness, and you're helping somebody in their time of need. Of course, when you become a believer in Jesus and you start reading the Bible and you start learning about the kind of love that God has for you through Christ, it takes it to a whole other level. Well, what we want to do this morning is we want to take a look at three questions. How does God show us he loves us? How do we love God? And how do we share God's love with others? So those are the questions. And we have a video clip that we want to share with you. We've been doing this each week during this series. And this video clip is from the Bible Project, and it's about love. And so it's kind of a cool way to get a little kind of idea of what the Old Testament and New Testament says about love.
So
let's watch
Jesus,
this.
You probably know about one of his famous teachings called the Golden Rule. Do to others what you would want them to do to you. And this, actually, is a restatement of something else that Jesus said, that the meaning of life is to love God and love your neighbor as yourself. Now, that's really beautiful, but what does he mean exactly by the word love? It's an unclear word in English, because you can love your mom and you can love pizza. And if the word love means the same thing in both of those cases, your mom's gonna feel real bad. So what did Jesus mean in his language? Well, first of all, this love your neighbor phrase is a quotation from the Hebrew scriptures, where the word for love is ahava. However, the language Jesus spoke and taught in from day to day, it was a cousin language of Hebrew, that is Aramaic, in which the word for love is rachma. But then, as Jesus' followers spread his teachings around the world, they translated them into Greek, using the word agape. But here's what's fascinating. The earliest followers of Jesus, who wrote the books of the New Testament in Greek, they didn't learn the meaning of agape by looking it up in ancient dictionaries. Rather, they looked to the teachings of Jesus and the story of his life to redefine their very concept of love. So one time, Jesus was asked about the most important command in the Jewish scriptures. And he first quoted from the ancient prayer in the Torah called the Shema, "Love the Lord your God with all of your heart." So love for God is the most important thing. But then Jesus quickly followed up by saying another command from the Torah was also the most important, to love your neighbor as yourself. So which is the most important, loving God or loving your neighbor? Jesus' answer is yes. To ask the question means you don't get his point. For Jesus, they are two sides of the same coin. Your love for God will be expressed by your love for people, and vice versa, they're inseparable. And so this makes it clear that for Jesus, agape love is not primarily a feeling for someone else that happens to you, like our phrase, "I fell in love." For Jesus, love is action. It's a choice that you make to seek the well-being of people other than yourself. Jesus also went on to teach that genuine love for God and others means seeking people's well-being without expecting anything in return, especially from people who are in difficult situations who can't repay you even if they wanted to. According to Jesus, this kind of generous love reflects the very heartbeat of God. And he took this even further. Jesus said that the ultimate standard of authentic love is how well you treat the person that you can't stand. Or in his words, "You shall love your enemy and do good to them, expecting nothing in return." For Jesus, this kind of enemy-embracing love imitates the very character of God himself. Now, we wouldn't be talking about Jesus still today if he had only said things like "love your enemy." This is how he actually lived. Jesus was constantly helping and serving the people around him in very practical and tangible ways. And he consistently moved towards poor and hurting people who couldn't benefit him in return. He showed love for the forgotten ones, the people who usually fall through the cracks. And when Jesus eventually marched into Jerusalem, he made himself an enemy of the leaders of his people by accusing them of hypocrisy and corruption. But then instead of attacking his enemies to overthrow them, he allowed them to kill him. Jesus died for the selfishness and corruption of his enemies because he loved them. After Easter morning, Jesus and then his followers claimed that it was the power of God's love for the world that was revealed in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. As the Apostle Paul put it, "God demonstrated his own agape for us in this: while we were still sinners, the Messiah died for us." Or in the words of the Apostle John, "God's own agape was revealed when he sent his one and only Son into the world so that through him we could have life." And for John, then, this leads naturally to the conclusion, "Beloved ones, if that's how God has loved us, then we ought to show love for one another." So Christian faith involves trusting that at the center of the universe is a being overflowing with love for his world, which means that the purpose of human existence is to receive this love that has come to us in Jesus and then to give it back out to others, creating an ecosystem of others-focused, self-giving love. And that's the New Testament meaning of agape love.
In 4 minutes, that was pretty good. So I want to amplify a few things from that that I think are going to be helpful for us this morning in terms of what love is all about. I have a few key scriptures. And the first key scripture I have is 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 10. "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. So I really like this verse as a summary of so many other verses in the Bible that describe what love is and the kind of love that God has for us, because clearly God loved us first. And the source of love is God. God is love. And so we respond to his love with our own, but he loved us first. And he didn't tell us he loved us. He showed us he loved us. And he showed us primarily, demonstrated that, by sending his very own son, Jesus, to live on this planet, to become a human being, to understand our life and our weaknesses and our travails and all the things we go through, but that Jesus lived a perfect life. And then he willingly gave himself up. He willingly sacrificed himself on a cross for us. Even though the Bible says that we were imperfect, we were selfish, we were rebellious, we were sinful. And even though that was the lot of us, every one of us, God says that he sent his son to take our place and to satisfy the justice of God, and yet at the same time to demonstrate the love of God. And that's what the atoning sacrifice of Christ is, because that word atoning means that we can be at one with God because of what Jesus has done. So that's how God demonstrated his love for us. So how do we love God back? Well, here's another powerful passage from 1 John. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates his brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. So that's as you saw in the video clip, it's all connected, isn't it? We can't say we love God if we hate our neighbor. And our neighbor is everybody. Our neighbor is our actual literal neighbor. And our neighbor is all those people we're going to gather with on Christmas. And our neighbor is our boss and the people we work with. Our neighbor is the people that we might have the hardest time getting along with. And those are our neighbors. In fact, Jesus told a story called the Good Samaritan. And that story, he really caught the attention of his Jewish audience, because in the story, it was a Samaritan who was hated by the Jews that was the hero of the story. And it was the Samaritan that helped the Jewish person that had been beaten up by robbers, and he took care of that Jewish person, and he brought him into town, and he expended his own resources to make sure that that Jewish person was taken care of. And Jesus said, well, that's what it means to be a good neighbor. Even if you have a different viewpoint, a different religion, a different political idea, you're going to stop and help this person in need, because that's what it means to be a good neighbor. I really think that if Jesus were here today and telling the story, he would use Democrats and Republicans to tell the story, don't you think? I really think he would. So the thing about that this loving God and loving neighbor is that it's a hard thing to do. It's a hard thing to do because it means that there are times when we are loving people that actually don't like us. They might hate us, or maybe they persecute us. They're mean to us. And those are the people we'd like to get back in any way we can. And yet the Bible says, well, they're our neighbors too. And so we need to love those people and look for ways to take care of them and love them. Another hard thing is that the Bible talks about is loving people that are in need. It's easy to love somebody who can love you back, right? Who can reciprocate. You give them a gift, they give you a gift, it's all good, right? You love your husband loves you, et cetera, et cetera. But what about loving people that can't love you back? People that are in deep need. And Jesus said this. He said, if we see anybody who's hungry and or thirsty, or we see a stranger, we see somebody that needs clothes, if we see a sick person, if we see somebody in prison, and we take care of that person, it's like taking care of Jesus himself. So that's what love means, demonstrated, is loving people in need, loving people that don't like us, but loving really everybody, loving our neighbor, loving our brothers and sisters here, loving the people all around us. And so we get to do that every day, don't we? And it's challenging, and we kind of stumble forward. And there are times where we have to ask for forgiveness and times where we're sorry for what we've done or said, and we get back up on our feet again and we do the best we can the next day because that's what we do in our humanity. Well, we do a pretty good job in this church of helping people in need. I appreciate Lexi and the Coat Project, and we kind of help people through people, and that's one way that we help people. But we have to be prepared every day, don't we? Because we don't know who's going to walk down the road, who we're going to see tomorrow, and how we might need to help them. But we're going to be with a lot of different interesting people over the holidays, aren't we? And so we get an opportunity to love all of our relations. Well, I want to talk a little bit now about loving other people. Loving other people is a hard thing to do. And I wanted to get a special guest here today that could help us love other people. And I thought about who would be somebody that's just extremely generous, that's gift-giving, that has a whole lot of elves. You know, I thought, who could be somebody like that to come in and really kind of share Christmas love? I tried to get Santa. I tried to get the big guy. He's just not available these days. I mean, it's just this time of year, you just can't get him. You can't get any of the elves. They're working 24/7. So it's just tough to get somebody like that. But I thought about, who do we have in the congregation here? Is there anybody at all that we can kind of tap as a resource that might be an expert on love? And then I realized we have a love doctor in our church. We have a Dr. Love in our church. And I thought, I can ask Dr. Love to come and give us some pointers and maybe even write some prescriptions for how to love others. Do you think that'd be a good idea? Our wives didn't, but Dr. Love, come on out. We want to thank you so much for making a church call today, or a house call. We really, really appreciate your being here. Hey, guys, can you give a big hand for Dr. Love this morning? So, Dr. Love, I just have a first question for you, and that is, do we call you Dr. Love or the Love Doctor, or does it really matter?
Well, my friends call me the Love Doctor. Actually, it's just a couple of them, and they think it's hilarious. They gave me this title because I led some studies last year on love, and I wanted to find out what this love is that the Bible talks about. So either will do as long as you remember that I am a highly skilled and trained professional with an emphasis in love.
You know what? I believe that, but Dr. Love, can you share a little bit about your credentials? I mean, you talk a good game, but what are your credentials actually when it comes to love?
Well, I've taught Sunday school classes. I led my home group and the geezer group last year in a study on love. And if you can get a group of old guys to open up and talk about love, I think I can teach just about anybody.
That's a good point.
And I've even preached about love. And I've loved my wife for over 45 years. And I know that Jesus loves me. This I know because the Bible tells me so.
That is a good answer. That is a very good answer. I'm glad you're here today because many of us in the church today are having a love problem. And because you're a love expert, well, I'm just really glad you're here today. So maybe we could start with me, Doctor. I'm having a love problem.
Tell me about your problem.
Well, it's sort of like this. I got an email that kind of blamed me for everything. And I'm getting really mad at that person because they sent me this nasty email. And it's just burning me up. And I don't know what I should do about it, Doctor. I'm having a real love problem.
Well, let's check your heart.
That's a good place to start, I guess. Does that work, Doctor? Oh, no, I think
you
it's...
You have one. It's, no, you're no, not I think heartless.
Oh, okay.
So Jesus says we are to forgive those who persecute us. I'm going to write you out a prescription. 3 times a day, drink a glass of water with a spoonful of apple cider vinegar. And pray for the person who sent you the mean email.
Well, I'll do that, Doctor, but just why the apple cider vinegar? That sounds, I mean, that's sour and it tastes rotten.
Well, that's to remind you that we are all sour and rotten without the love of Christ.
That's a very good point. Thank you, Doctor, but I can't read your writing.
Well, the pharmacist can read it, and that's what they go to school for.
Okay. Oh, okay. Thank you very much, Doctor. Appreciate that. Well, you know, and I'm sure that there are other people in the congregation that are having a love problem. Maybe we can see a show of hands. Is there anybody today that's having a love problem and they need some help? Oh, we got a fellow right over here, doctor. Let's go over and see this guy.
Okay.
This guy looks like he needs a world of love. Here, why don't you turn and face the crowd? Right, here you go. Tell us about it, fella.
Well, I sent this guy an email. No. So I have a neighbor that I have a love-hate relationship. I'm really loving to hate him right now.
Let me take your blood pressure. Yes, your blood is boiling. You are very angry.
Yes, I am. My neighbor. He never cleans up his yard in this time of year. Every time the wind blows, all his leaves and junk come into my yard, and my yard looks worse than his.
I see. Well, let me write you a prescription. And I'm going to prescribe that you go over and rake your neighbor's leaves as an act of kindness.
It's too bad he has 5-acre spread. Thank you, sir. You may take a
Thanks.
Seat now. You look a little stymied. The doctor knows his love. So follow the...
Medicine doesn't always taste
Do
good.
Do we have any other people in the congregation this morning that are in desperate need of love? Oh, here's a gentleman right here in the front. He doesn't look very happy, so he probably is having some issues. Sir, do you want to stand up and talk to the doctor?
Well, so, Doc, every year we go over to our family's house for Christmas, and it gets pretty uncomfortable over there. You know, I've got an aunt and an uncle, and, boy, they just love to get into it. I got one blue and one red, and Uncle Jim Bob, they just go at it round and round and round, and, you know, I really can't stand going. What do I do?
Okay, well, let me take your pulse. Just as I suspected, you're nervous about the upcoming family gathering. Jesus wants us to spread his love among people who need it. It sounds like your relatives need love of God. I'm writing out a prescription from 1 John, and that book has more references to love than any other book in the Bible.
Good luck reading that. Anybody else this morning? Do we see any other hands? Anybody else? Oh, doctor, here's somebody right here. Here's a lady that looks like she needs some love. Tell us about your issues, ma'am.
Doctor, I am all out of love. My family is getting on my nerves. Getting ready for Christmas is exhausting. I'm married to Jay. I know I should put on a happy face, but I just feel like crawling into bed and ignoring my whole family.
Oh, you've got a serious case of love fibrillation. I'm going to have to get the defibrillator.
Oh, and he has one, too.
We need to shock your heart back into a loving rhythm.
You want me to hold her, doctor?
I think that'll be necessary.
Jay, you might want to help with this.
He's like, go ahead. Well, thank you.
Well, okay. Well, maybe you're right. Darn, I've always wanted to use one of those things. You need something much more powerful. A hug, a prayer, and the whole family helping out on Christmas. So I'm writing you a prescription for each of your family members for a full dose of what James calls the royal law. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. You may have heard that referred to. That way they'll pitch in and help this Christmas.
You know, doctor, You know, while we have you here, Dr. Love, and you being a love expert and this being the perfect Sunday to talk about love, maybe you can share some words of wisdom with us about love before you go.
Sure. Love is a serious business. In fact, I'll venture to say that it's the most important thing you can do in your life. And if you don't want to take my word for it, maybe you'll listen again to what my big brother Jesus said about 2,000 years ago. Okay, I'm adopted. But still, still, in Matthew 22:37-40, he said, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments." That's all the law and all the prophets. And remember, he created the universe. But what is this love? We keep using that word. I do not think it means what we think it means. As we heard in the video, this is agape love, which is not one of the touchy-feely, lovey-dovey kind of things. It deals with how you treat people, not just how you feel about them. To give you an idea of some of the characteristics of agape love, I'm going to read a few verses that are read a lot at weddings. As I read these verses, I want you to think about whether this is really about emotions or about actions. In 1 Corinthians 13:4 through 8, Paul says, "Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails." But I can sit here and write prescriptions for love until the cows come home. And it sounds almost impossible to fill. But as believers, we have the ability to fill these prescriptions. God gave us his word to tell us how to love. He gave us his son to show us how to love. And he gave us the Holy Spirit to help us as we put love into action. And if God is with us, the prognosis is excellent. The Bible says this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loves us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins.
Well, doctor, thank you so much for coming and sharing about love with us and giving us some healing prescriptions and talking about Jesus. But I know this time of year there are a lot of people that need house calls, and I know that you probably have to head on your way.
Yeah, I got to run. I got to get back to my reindeer. I mean, my other patients.
Dr. Love, give him a big hand. Woo! For those of you that didn't have your needs met, doctor's in the hallway before he goes, and so he gets some more prescriptions just in case. Well, we want to go ahead and collect our offering now, and then we're going to sing one last song, and then you're going to be dismissed. So let me pray for us. And then we'll go ahead and do that. Father in heaven, again, thank you so much for your incredible love for us. We just can't even imagine or calculate the love you have for us. And we know we don't deserve it. And yet we do receive it. We receive it from Jesus. And we know that there's no shame or no guilt or no fear or no hate that is more powerful than your love. Your love covers all things. And so I pray especially that you would fill us with your love this Christmas season. And Lord, just open our hearts to receive everything we need from you. We thank you, Lord, that we can give back to you now through this offering. And we pray that you'd use this to build your church and build your kingdom. In Jesus' name, we pray.